across the top of that page, you can write the perfect wife. And we're going to learn how we can be the perfect wife. We're probably all at different stages in our life. Maybe some of you have just been saved a week or two. And maybe some of you have been saved maybe 40 or 50 years. Who knows? But we're all wives, and we have a lot to learn here. But just before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for bringing us all together here. Thank you for making each one of us a wife. What an awesome responsibility, Lord. I pray that you would help us to learn through the life of Eve and the lifetime commitments that you gave to her to be the perfect wife. And I ask that you would, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm so glad that you're here, and I have been looking forward to this special opportunity for a long time. Now, before we get started, I want to tell you a story about a man that didn't think he had a very perfect wife. So he began to complain a little to God. A man was sick and tired of going to work every day while his wife stayed home. He wanted her to see what he went through, so he prayed. Oh, dear God, I go to work every day. I put in 8 hours while my wife merely stays at home. I want her to know what I go through. So please, allow her to switch bodies with me for just one day. Well, God, in his infinite wisdom, granted the man's wish. The next morning, sure enough, the man woke as a woman. He arose, he cooked breakfast for his wife, he awakened the kids, he set out their clothes, he fed them breakfast, he packed their lunches, he drove them to school. Then he came home and picked up the dry cleaning, took it to the dry cleaners, and stopped at the bank to make a deposit. Then he went grocery shopping. He drove home to put away the groceries. He paid the bills and balanced the checkbook. He cleaned the cat's litter box and bathed the dog. Then it was already 1 p.m. He hurried to make the beds, to do the laundry, to vacuum. Then he dusted. And then he mopped the kitchen floor. He ran to the school to pick up the kids and got into an argument with them on the way home. He set out milk and cookies and got the kids organized to do their homework. Then he set up the ironing board and watched TV while he did the ironing. At 4:30, he began peeling vegetables for a salad. He breaded the pork chops. He cut up fresh beans for supper. After supper, he cleaned the kitchen. He ran the dishwasher. He folded the laundry. He bathed the kids and put them to bed. At 9 o'clock p.m., he was exhausted. And though his daily chores weren't finished, he went to bed, where he was expected to make love, which he managed to get through without complaint. The next morning, he woke up and immediately knelt by his bed and said, "Lord, I don't know what I was thinking. I was so wrong to envy my wife's being able to stay home all day. Oh, please, 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 please trade us back." Amen. The Lord, in his infinite wisdom, replied, "My son, I feel you have learned your lesson, and I will be happy to change things back the way they were. You'll just have to wait 9 months. You got pregnant last night." So, we're going to learn how to be the perfect wife and learn the basic commitments that were given by God to Eve. And if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, here we have like a snapshot of creation. Can you believe all of creation took place in just 2 chapters of the Bible? But you know, God never does anything ordinary. Everything he does is extraordinary. God never does anything incomplete, and everything he does is always complete. He never does anything imperfectly. All of his creative geniuses always demonstrates itself in perfection. So in 6 literal days, God created the earth and the heavens and the earth and all that is therein. And on the 6th day, he created his crowning glory, and that was man. He breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God saw how needy he was, and God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." And he said, "I will make him a helpmeet." Now, see, that's what the Bible says, but my version is, I think he looked at Adam and said, "I think I can do better." And so we're the ultimate of his creation. So God did surgery on Adam and took a rib from him and created Eve. Now, we don't live in Eden anymore, do we? And we have to fight against that old sin nature every day. It seems like every minute we have to be careful of that. But we can have God's blessings on our life and on our marriage as we are willing to work hard on these 4 lifetime commitments. So number 1, Eve was created by God, number 1, to be a reflection of the likeness and image of God. To be a reflection of the likeness and image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, let me read it for you. It says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the flesh of over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now, let me ask you, who was he talking to? Adam wasn't created yet. He was talking to God himself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's how God manifests himself. And in these verses, God made the perfect man and the perfect woman to reflect his image, the image of God. So that when we see the image of God, he made a masculine man and he made a feminine woman. The masculine man was to represent God the Father. Then he made a feminine man, a woman, to represent God the Holy Spirit, and they were commanded to have children, which would represent the Son of God. And in that creation, he made the likeness and image of God. And all of God's nature couldn't be seen through just the man. He created the woman. It says in the end of those verses, "Male and female created he them." So to see a perfect picture of who God really is, he made man and woman distinctively different to reflect God's qualities. If you saw a picture of Pastor and Mrs. Chapel, you'd see what I see, wouldn't you? You'd say, "Wow, that looks a lot like God." And what a wonderful picture they display in their lives, because they've known God. They've walked with God for many, many years. What do people see when they look at your marriage? Do they say, "Wow, that looks a lot like God himself"? That's what we want. And that's why we want to be the perfect wife. We need a passion. We need a passion to be perfect, because we're displaying the image of God, the likeness of God. Mature man and mature woman in the Lord is a perfect reflection of God's likeness and the image of God himself. He made them different, and yet he made them similar, male and female. They were trichotomies. They were a spirit. They had a soul, a body. They had mind, will, and emotions. But you know, we can look at it and say, God has a feminine side. And you know what's interesting? These verses in Deuteronomy 32:11, it says, as an eagle fluttereth over her young. That word fluttereth is a feminine word. And it's the same word that was used in the very second verse of the Bible where it says in Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water in creation. The Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God has a feminine word. It's a feminine word. It's a feminine spirit. The Spirit of God is the agent of action. The Spirit of God is our comforter. He's our encourager. He's our strengthener. And we need to be like that. The wife is to reflect that Holy Spirit in the home. So the wife in marriage was designed by God to demonstrate to the world the wonderful comforting and encouraging and strengthening qualities of God. You say, how do I do this? How do I become this? The better we know God, the more like him we will be. We need to spend time getting to know him. It's so vitally important. We need to know God. Do we put our husband in God's place sometimes? We say, well, my husband is my best friend. And in a human sense, that's a wonderful thing. But do we expect him to do what only God can do in our life? Because we don't want to take the time to really know God and to really spend time with God. We receive the Holy Spirit when we get saved. And I've been asking him for quite some time now to help me hear his voice. One time I said, Lord, if you have to, just scream at me. And the Lord rebuked me and said, I'm not going to scream. You have to listen very quietly. My voice is very quiet and you have to listen. And I have to be so careful to spend time every day in my Bible and in prayer and waiting on him to speak to me. So as we know God better and better, we take on the image and the likeness of God. That's what our husband needs. It says a godly woman is a crown to her husband in Proverbs 12:4, and a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's in Proverbs 31:30. Ladies, that's the greatest gift that you could ever give your husband. It's to know the Lord. So to be a reflection of the likeness and image of God, it is our first duty for every Christian wife. That is what sanctification is all about, becoming more and more like God. It's not happiness that ought to be our focus. It's holiness. And the more holy we become, the happier we'll be. And the more we become like God, the better our marriage will reflect his likeness. Now, number two. Let's look at number two. Number two is to be a companion to her husband. The lifetime commitment for Eve was to be a companion to her husband. In Genesis 2:18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. In this verse, God looked at man and saw that it wasn't good for him to be alone. He needed someone to keep him company. Adam needed a companion to share life's experiences with. He needed someone to walk with. He needed someone to talk with. He needed someone to love. Because in Genesis 2:20, it says that Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmate. So he was alone. You know, it says a dog, you've always heard this, that a dog is a man's best friend. Well, maybe it's because he knows something about companionship, you think? And we need to be that companion, that close companion to our man. There's something so beautiful about companionship. In Proverbs 30, verse 18 and 19, it says, "There be three things that are too wonderful for me, or full of wonder. Yea, four which I know not, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of a sea, and the way of a man with a maid." But you know what? The devil wants to put a wedge in between that relationship. He wants to make them individuals so that they can get busy in their career and do their own thing instead of becoming one. God's purpose for making us his wife was to complete him. Everything God does, he does for a purpose. I think it's so interesting. He didn't make us out of the same ingredients that he made man. He used a rib. Now, why did he use a rib? Why didn't he use a bone in the brain or something? Well, that was because he didn't want her to lead. Why didn't he use a bone from his foot so that she wouldn't be trodden? Instead, he used a rib bone, so that she would be close to his heart and under his arm for protection. I love that. I love, love, love it. A wife's fulfillment is found in fulfilling the companionship of her husband. You know, I think if we spoke to a widow woman today and asked her what she misses most about her beloved husband, I think she'd have all kinds of stories to tell you of her companionship that she spent with her husband. And without our companion, we are lonely. A while back, I went and visited my daughter that lives in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And she was just married last summer. And I went to spend a few days with her. And when I got back home, my other daughter that lives near our home says, "You know, Mom, it's pitiful when you're gone. Dad, he just mopes around. He won't go home. He comes over to our house, or he spends so many hours at work working till late at night." She says, "Do you think he's scared of the dark?" Maybe he misses his companion, I hope. And it should be sweeter as the years go by, shouldn't it? Okay, now let's look at the third one. The third lifetime commitment is in this very same verse where it says, "And God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet. I will make a help meet for him." Now let's look at that first word, help. What does help mean? Help, help, help. Help is an assistant. An assistant. In the New Testament, we find the Holy Spirit is sent to live within us, to comfort and help us. And that's what we need to be. The holy wife finds great fulfillment as she pours her life into her husband. Not that she pours her life into her career, or she pours her life into her boss, or she pours her life into her children, not even her church, but she pours her life into her husband. Beware, moms. I know, believe me, children are needy, aren't they? But you know what? Your husband needs you more, even more. You know, I learned just recently, I have a grandson that was in surgery. And as they were telling me about it, there was many assistants. The room was filled with assistants that they assisted the surgeon. There is a assistant, I'm sure his top assistant that's right beside him that hands him exactly what he needs, if it be the scalpel or the scissors or whatever it is, the knife, whatever it is when they do surgery. A nurse could probably explain it a little better. But anyways, there's lots of assistants, and I know that they even have like a crash team right outside the door in case his heart would crash. In fact, it did a couple of times. And they had the crash team come in and take over while they were busy doing surgery. I even learned that they have now, maybe you knew this, they have a, what is he called? Let me look in my notes here. They have a pharmacist with his computer right there in the room. And when a doctor has to add a medicine or use something to cleanse out the bacteria that was in his arm, they would holler out a medication, and this pharmacist would work on his computer and make sure that everything worked okay together with the medicines he was on and with the medications that they were using. So it's very interesting how a surgeon has so many helpers, so many assistants. And that's the way we need to be with our husbands. And the longer we're married to our husband, we know exactly how he's going to react, what he wants, what he needs, when he needs it, how he likes it, what his wishes are. I know my husband likes to have a clean house. And it's my job to keep the house clean. And I know he likes to come home to a peaceful home. So before he comes home, I had lots of children, we needed to make sure that the children were getting along, that they were doing their homework, that everything was in order. Or we'd have we'd also have some of the music. We play music a lot at our house, so we'd have some nice, relaxing music so that when he came home, he could come home and go, because I wanted that to be his paradise. So that's our job, ladies. Are you your husband's assistant? Are you running alongside of him? Are you helping to make his life easier? Are you fulfilling your responsibilities? Whatever he wants, whatever he wishes. Does he need a meal when he comes home? Then we need to have that meal ready. And I go, oh, my word, I forgot all about that. No, we need to keep that in mind. That's our responsibility. But it's kind of a behind-the-scene kind of thing. We don't get a lot of accolades for it. Really, it goes unnoticed. But great is your reward in heaven for this big job. And then our fourth lifetime commitment is to be his helpmeet. Let's look at that second word in helpmeet. Meet means to be suitable or adaptability to the circumstances with strength. So that fourth lifetime commitment is to be a help meet to Adam. Suitable, adaptability to the circumstances with strength. Wow. Or do you fall apart when things go wrong? Just, oh, or do you fall into tears? Your husband needs a calm wife. Remember your marriage vows. It says for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness or in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. Wow, did I really say that? We just look at our husband with stars in our eyes when we say those words, and we think, yes, certainly it's going to be better than worse. And certainly we're going to get richer than poor. And oh, of course, we'll have good health and never get sick. But that's not the way it always is. We have to be strong for whatever God brings into our marriage. And those that have been married for some time realize God brings all kinds of things into our marriage. My husband calls it adversity university. And we learn a lot, don't we, from all the things God brings into our life. Why does he do that? To torture us? No. He does that so we will learn to look more like Jesus, so that we'll, our marriage will reflect God himself, the likeness and image of God himself. In the nearly 40 years that I have been married, there have been some things that I've had to depend on God's help for adapting to be suitable for him. In the last, our sixth daughter, when she was born with the cord around her neck, which gave her quite a bit of time without oxygen. So there was severe brain damage done, and today she's 25. But she has probably the intelligence of a two-year-old, and she needs help with everything. She needs help to get up in the morning. She needs help to get ready for bed. She needs help to eat. She needs help to go to the bathroom. She needs help to get dressed. She needs help with just about everything. And then God gave us seven children, and then we found out that both my brother and his wife were dying of cancer, and they requested that we take their four children. So we took their four children, and then I found out I was pregnant. And I thought, whoa, is this some kind of a joke, Lord? I think you just made your first mistake. But you know what? It wasn't a mistake at all. God knew exactly what he was doing. And he knew that a baby would just melt two families together. They love babies. We love babies. And what a perfect way to begin our life together as a big family. What if your husband loses his job and you have to lose your beautiful home and move into a small apartment? What if something happens to one of your children and they get very, very sick, and you have to help that child and your husband and your family? What happens if you have a financial crisis? What happens if, when life brings these crises into our life, we must face our responsibilities with a sweet spirit and with God's help, and be the best helpmeet that we can be for our husband? As we are committed to these lifetime commitments, what an example to our children when we are committed to our responsibilities. And we use those hard times in life to help us become a couple that reflects the image and likeness of God. As they view the priority of our lifetime commitments, wow, what a big responsibility that is in raising the next generation. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for each one of these ladies. And Lord, I just sitting here thinking about all the difficulties that they may be facing right now, that they face in life. Wow, what a adversity university each one of them are experiencing. Lord, I pray that their marriage would be a delight. I pray that they would be that help meet for their husband that he needs along life's way. Lord, I pray that he would be most important in our life, that we would run alongside of him and love him and obey him and meet his needs. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to live these lifetime commitments and love you and serve you, and with a sweet spirit, become more and more in the likeness of you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.